Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Please make sure your seatbelt is securely fastened, your tray table is in an upright and locked position, and that you are ready to get weird and think different. Please prepare for takeoff.
Today is Wednesday. It is October 6th, and we are back with episode 100 of the Destination Different podcast. 100 episodes. 100. I cannot believe it. If you would have told me 2 years ago that I would have recorded 100 episodes of this podcast, I'd say you are certifiably insane. I had no thought of this getting to 1 year, never mind 2 years, of this getting to 10 episodes, never mind 100 episodes. And yet here we are, 100 episodes in, and in my perspective, only just getting started. I truly can't believe that I've recorded 100 episodes of this thing. I went back in the old archives. I think it was September 28th. 2019 was the first episode of Destination Different, and it's insane how much life has changed since that first episode aired. When I posted that first episode, I did not have a job. I was living at my parents' house. There was no global pandemic. I was the first 4, 5, maybe 6 interviews. I was interviewing people. I was recording the interviews. And then I was trying to transcribe the interviews into blog posts. They weren't even podcasts. I was writing them out like an idiot, trying to go sentence by sentence and turn them into blog posts. It was insane. But that is how the Destination Different podcast started. It's fitting that on my 100th episode here, you'll notice in the actual interview, I fucked up the sound. I haven't had a sound fuck up. I've recorded everything. And yet somehow on my 100th episode, I was piped into my headphones instead of my microphone. And so my audio sounds a little bit not the best. But it's fitting that I started this thing recording interviews and trying to write them into blog posts. And that 100 episodes later, I'm still messing something up. But what a ride it's been to get to 100 episodes. Like I said, I think we're just getting started. I'm excited for the next 100, the next 200, the next 1,000. We're just getting going. And this is probably going to be a little bit longer of an intro than you're used to, but it's episode 100, so I can take the time, I'd say. I have two groups of people that I want to thank before we jump into the guests for this week's show. Two groups that have really made this podcast what it is and will continue to make this podcast anything if it ever becomes anything. And the first group that I have to thank is anyone who has listened to this show. The listeners of this show are, I just am so thankful that anybody spends half an hour of their week, every single week. I've been posting this every single week for 2 years. It's an hour a week. And somehow, some way, every week there are people coming back listening to this show. And I am so thankful that anybody listens to this show. It's a weird feeling putting things out into the world creatively and not knowing how people are going to react, what is going on the other side of what you're putting out. And so over the last 2 years, to get text messages, to get DMs, to see people in person and have them say, "Hey, I listen to your podcast. It's awesome. I pass it along to a friend." Those things are probably the only reason that I'm still doing this 2 years later, is because there are listeners of the show out there that actually have taken the time to thank me for the show, to tell me that they like it. And it really does mean a lot that there are people out there who are invested in growing this show and making it bigger, making it better. And it blows my mind every single time that anybody would want to listen to me for an hour a week. I mean, it's not just me. There's usually somebody much smarter, nicer, funnier, better than me also on the show. But it just still shocks me none the same. And so I am so thankful that there are people out there who tune in and listen to this show every week. So if you listen, if you subscribe to the show, if you've rated the show, if you sent me messages, thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope you keep tuning in for the next 100. And then my other group of people that I have to thank that have made this show what it is are the 80-something guests that I have had on the Destination Different podcast. When I started this thing out, it was kind of tapping into, I was still figuring it out. I didn't know exactly what I wanted the show to be. I just knew I had friends that were doing interesting things, people in my network that were writing books or that were traveling all over the place or were starting their own companies. And I thought that it was, selfishly, I thought that I could interview them for an hour and I would learn some stuff and hear how they were building whatever it was that they were building. And as this has continued and, you know, you get outside that immediate inner circle of close friends that are doing things, and I've now interviewed people that are complete strangers to me that I have, you know, contacted randomly on the internet, and we've become friends. I've connected with old friends that I hadn't spoken to in 5-10 years. I've been put in touch with new people through friends of friends that have become like this amazing weaving of skill sets and connections in the creative world. And so I'm so thankful to all the people who have spent the time to come on the show. I know how valuable everybody's time is, and to have 80-something people give me an hour of their time, an hour and a half of their time to sit down and talk and pick their brains and be open about their stories and what they're doing, what they're building, that is pretty crazy. And you know, my long-term vision for this show is that I will someday have hundreds, if not thousands, of friends and contacts in the creative world and the entrepreneurial space that I can help bridge gaps between past guests of this show, that I can work and collaborate with guests of this show. And that's something that, you know, I want to keep building on and keep growing, because I just find that this creative, this entrepreneurial community that I've started to build around this podcast is so special. And every single person I talk to, I think, probably comes in a little bit skeptical. It takes a little warming up. And once we get going, it just seems like no matter who I'm talking to, that it's like a couple of old friends catching up and sharing ideas. And that's what I hope that everybody else gets out of this show. But it's been such a treat to interview so many, like, just insanely talented, smart, funny, driven people. Like, there are going to be millionaires, billionaires, huge businesses that are built off of these guests that are coming on this show. And so I'm so thankful to that group as well. They are special, special people, every single one of them. And I'm so thankful that they've given me their time that I can then go and share with the listeners of this show. So those are my two groups. Had to get that out there, get a little sappy for the 100th episode. It is kind of a crazy milestone. So I wanted to just make sure I took the time to say my thank yous right here up front. And now, you know, it wouldn't be a 100th episode if I didn't have somebody to interview, if I didn't have somebody to talk to. And we have a fantastic guest on this week's show that I think is really just a perfect encapsulation of everything that I want this show to be, that I want, that is who I am. And it just was a very, very special guest to happen to have for my 100th episode. So the guest on this week's show, her name is Kate Dever. She is a rising junior at Boston College, my alma mater. She is also a collegiate athlete. She plays goalie in lacrosse. She is a national champion. She is an insanely, insanely talented lacrosse player to be playing at the level that she's playing at. She is also one of the best in the business as a photographer and a videographer and a content creator. when Kate got to college, she said, I want to create a YouTube channel that documents my life as a Division I athlete. She's done that. She's been hired out by Athletes Unlimited, which is, if you haven't heard of Athletes Unlimited, also recommend looking into that because it is a special, special business model that is, you know, putting women's athletics on the map. And so she was the head photographer at the age of 19 for Athletes Unlimited lacrosse this past summer. And so we talked all about how she manages life as a Division I athlete and a Division I high-level content creator, photographer, videographer. And she just was so kind. You can tell she is so driven. And if you look at her work, she is so insanely talented. And we talked about all how those worlds come together, the athletics, the content creation. And she was just, it was just getting the chance to talk to an athlete, as a former athlete myself, somebody who is also now going into the creative field. It just felt like a really perfect, perfect story for the 100th episode. So I'm going to shut up because I've probably been babbling along for way too long here and kick it over to Kate Dever on the 100th episode of Destination Different. I hope you enjoy. When do you find time to sleep?
You know, my team actually just got whooped, so now it's going to be really on me about sleep. But I am a stickler for getting in a good amount, because I just know at the end of the day, if you're not sleeping, you're not going to play well. And it's one of those things, I care about all the little things, and it's a factor towards your game. So you got to get in at least 8 hours.
I mean, I watch what you do and I'm like, you have 10,000 things going on. You're photographic. Like, I know just how much time being a D1 athlete takes up, and then you're tacking on shooting games, running your YouTube channel. So like, I guess how do you sort of structure your day as a student, as an athlete, as a content creator? Like, how do you start to balance all those different things?
Yeah, I mean, a big thing for me, I just learned freshman year, I started off just working for the school newspaper at the Heights, and it definitely was a learning curve because that was the first time like I kind of used photos on a platform that were going to be shared. So it took a lot of time for me to figure out like how I wanted to edit and how I wanted it to be shared, especially in terms of like when you print it for newspaper, it has to look a certain way. And I think I struggled with that at first because I'd want to add like these fun colors to my images, and it's like, it's not really how it works. Like, you can't really do that. So it took me a lot of time. So it's like coming in freshman year, I'm starting to play D1 sport. And then on top of that, I'm a freshman. So you really want to just try to like meet everyone and anyone that you can once you get on campus. And then I was tacking on like trying to build as an editor. So it was definitely really hard. But I think in terms of what BC Athletics does for their athletes, like if I needed tutoring, that was easily accessible. So class-wise, I was at a really good spot. And being on a D1 team, you got some built-in best friends. So that part made it really easy. And the newspaper thing, it was such like a surreal and just different experience because it was something I think a lot of athletes don't take on. It is kind of going out of their way to go, I don't know how to say it, but like going out of their way to join other programs and other than like their sport, because it is a time thing. Like, you're tacking on something else on top of your job as an athlete. So I think for that, I figured out like how I wanted to structure my day, where it's like, if I had blocks of like 30 minutes, I could like open up my iPhone and like edit a photo, you know what I mean? And then like post that. And then if I had like more free time, like, yeah, I could like make a short video, put that on Instagram. But I'd say the biggest time commitment was actually for me was starting that YouTube channel. Like, it was something that I really wanted to do. I wanted to be able to look back on my college lacrosse experience because, I mean, they just launched this summer. I actually got to work for them, the Athletes Unlimited Pro Lacrosse League.
I definitely want to talk more about that too.
Yeah, I'll go into that. But for the most part, there's not much professional lacrosse after college. So I really wanted to capture what my experience was and just like as a college athlete. And I really struggled in the beginning with the editing. I mean, my computer just hated me. Everyone knows if you're trying to do editing on a computer that doesn't handle editing, it's
get the,
crash.
The spinning wheel of death at all times.
The spinning wheel of death. It didn't save and it crashed. You got to start all over again. I mean, like, it was a lot of headaches, but like once I was able to like click submit on YouTube, it was the best feeling. And I just knew like I was going to keep doing it until I could speed up my process. And so I think, especially, I mean, my freshman year got cut short. And so when I went home, I like set a goal for myself and I was like, I'm figuring this out. Like, I want to get faster at editing. And so I started making just like fun little videos, like with my siblings and with my family. And like, I love those videos because now it's like, I can look back on like how we handled the pandemic. And I just think it's hilarious. Like, we all got road bikes and just like thought we were a cycling crew. Like, it's little things like that. It was just so awesome. But then when I came back in the fall, we like didn't really have lacrosse. So once again, I kind of had that time window to like really hone in on edits. And it was weird though, because it's like, I'm filming as a D1 athlete, but like, hey, I'm not actually playing right now because our team's not a fall priority. And so we can't really do anything. And so it was tough, but I think it was really cool to be able to show like my life with my roommates as we lived in an 8-person suite. And then come preseasons, I had such an editing pattern down that I was set. Like, I was like doing a game day series and I'm doing it. And I'm so grateful I kind of had that time to build, because I was able to literally document all our away games to the point of like our final four and then the national championship.
Picked like, a pretty good year. Picked a pretty good year to do it.
But it like truly goes to show like everything happens for a reason. Like, I was able to have that time to learn how to edit and kind of like find my niche and build as a creator. And if I wasn't able to do that, like, I would not be able to have those vlogs. And I think right now I'm kind of in a weird spot because I've taken on such a big role, with photography, with, football, that it kind of is in a weird spot to handle the YouTube too, because I want to successfully do like one job so well, then two jobs, like,
half.
So, yeah. So I'm kind of just taking a little pause right now. But it's still growing. So that part I love. I definitely think I don't know if you know Mitchell Pelkey. He's out of Ohio State. He does YouTube videos. And when we met up this summer and we did a collab video, it's on my channel, actually. It's pretty funny. He was like, get into TikTok. Like, you'll have so much fun with it. And I have one video that's coming close to 100K, but I just think it's so funny.
Wow.
It's like, it's such like a different platform. Like, I think anyone has the opportunity to like be creative and share their story and share fun little videos. And so, yeah, I mean, you can have TikTok and make it be serious. You can like have fun with it, make it with friends. Like, I think it's just such like, it's like YouTube, but quicker. So I think like it's definitely just kind of, I'm all over the place as always. That's like usually how I tell people I'm creative, is just because I never sit still. Like, I'm always trying something new or just like picking up a new platform.
So to go maybe back in time a little bit, like, were you always in, like, even in, you know, elementary school, middle school, high school, like, were you interested in photography or videography? And was that something that maybe your family like was interested in as well? Like, how did you sort of get into the space where you got into college and were like, all right, I'm starting a YouTube channel, I want to learn how to edit, I'm working for the newspaper. Like, how did this sort of develop?
Yeah. So in middle school, I was a 3-season sport athlete. So I did soccer and then I did ski racing in the winter. That's definitely the curveball one here. But so when I ski race, what I would do is I'd attach a GoPro onto my, like, the chest mount, and I'd film my knees because it would help me figure out like where they kind of had to align, so I would make nice arcs around the gates. And just like kind of bringing my GoPro to ski practice and everything, I then like made like a short little video, I guess, of our team. And I still go back sometimes and watch that, 'cause it's so funny. Like, here's this team of skiers from like New Jersey. And like, we were state champs, and I'm not gonna lie, like, that was flex. But like, we have this like awesome video to look back on of kind of how we started the ski racing program at our town. Like, we were the first year too, so it was huge. And so I really loved not only just like building as an athlete using the video stuff, but then being able to like capture those memories that I made like with my friends. And so then going into my senior year of high school, it was kind of that time where like you signed the NLI and you're like kind of getting ready. Like, you're like, okay, like getting into the mode. And so I declared my major as communication. Cause I knew I wanted to go into something with sports and just kind of, you know, connecting with other athletes. And I felt like that was the best fit. And I ended up actually buying my first camera senior year spring. And I started showing up to our boys' lacrosse games and our baseball games and taking photos of like my friends. And this, I remember it scared me so badly because I thought I was going to get in trouble. And this older guy comes up to me and he's got like a legit camera. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like when you see someone, they're like, they just have like the setup. And
yes.
Like, oh. He comes kit. Up to me. Yeah. And he's like, who are you shooting for? I was like, oh my God. I was like, I'm just shooting for fun. And he's like, for free? I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, why don't you come work for me? I was like, oh, like, and it totally spooked me. But it turns out he was the local sports photographer. Mm-hmm. And so that summer, like, I did a few projects with him. Like, I would shoot for like a summer ball tournament.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Summer ball. And I just really liked the idea of like being able to take those photos, but also like share it to the athletes. And so mm-hmm. I felt like it was cool to have that relationship. Like, yeah, I shared it with my friends, but with working with him, I also learned like more of like the, I don't know, like his photos were being put in the newspaper. So I got mm-hmm. that sense of like, okay, if I want to continue this and like continue to learn, I could do something like this in college. And so mm-hmm. that's why I kind of went towards joining the Heights. Cause I was like, it's the same idea.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about working for the Heights is like, you're working with all students too. You're not mm-hmm. working with someone who's like way out of your age bracket. Like, you're working with young creatives that all have like different ideas, different angles of like each thing. And so for me, it was just really cool to like finally be in an environment where I didn't feel, I don't want to say isolated, but I didn't feel like I couldn't relate with other creators unless that was through social media. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I think is so cool about social media, is that you can connect with so many other creators, and mm-hmm. especially just like seeing what they produce. Like, there's so many portfolios out there. I think it's so cool to see like people's editing styles, or I don't know, just like who they work for and how they kind of do it. Mm-hmm. And a big inspiration for me was Ty Rogers, when he shot photos and videos for Cam Newton on the Panthers. And it just like, for me, I was seeing that and I was just like, he's doing so much more than just shooting a football game. Like,
right.
He's sharing the emotion of Cam Newton. He's telling the story of Cam Newton. And like, to me, that's was like, I want to do that. Like, I don't just want to shoot a sport event. And so I think leaving the Heights after my freshman year, it wasn't because I didn't like being at the Heights. It was more just like, I wanted to do more for the athletes.
Yeah.
My sophomore year, our social media person, Brent, he's kind of like taken me in.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, hey, when we have media day for lacrosse, like, we're going to have you set up your own station. Mm-hmm. And like, I was in kind of awe of that. I was like, oh my God, like,
that's
you
cool.
Know, like even college athletes, like when it's media day, it's like the best day ever.
And yeah.
To me, it was like, okay, I get media day and I get to shoot media day. Like, mm-hmm. wow.
I get to be on so camera cool. and behind the camera.
Yeah, exactly. It was funny though. So I actually took a photo with my camera in the photo shoot. I'll have to send it to you, but it was just like, it really just captured me. Like, I was mm-hmm. just like, I have my uniform on. I have my gloves on, my cleats on, my everything, and then I'm holding that camera. Like, mm-hmm. I'm doing both. And I think so many people think you can't. And I just think like, if you love something, you'll figure it out. Like,
yeah.
You really will.
Were you like naturally just sort of like gifted in some way too? Like, when you started shooting some of those photos in high school, you're like, all right, I'm on to something here. Like, this comes naturally to me, or I, you know, you maybe showed some signs of like, okay, your photos are getting into the paper, your whatever. Like, was there part of it that was like, all right, I have something here. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to keep like pushing on it.
Honestly, no, it was the opposite. I told myself, because I actually originally was like, what if I like declared like something in the arts or like photography? And I just was like, you can't succeed in that field. Like, I just told myself that. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just like, that's not like, you know, like people go to Boston College and they go to like CSOM, they go in marketing and finance, and it's mm-hmm. like all these like jobs. And I was just like, I have no interest in that. Like, that's not me.
Yeah.
And I just was, I don't know, at first I was like nervous to declare film. Like, I just was like, it didn't seem like it was legit, I guess. And I cannot tell you how many photos it actually took for me to figure out like what angle, what setting. Like, I shot an auto for like probably like a year. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Or I'd have my sports photographer guy, he set up all the settings for me, so all I had to do was shoot those. I think it was so much practice. Like, I would take so many photos and I'd have to delete so many, and I'd find the ones that I like, and I'd be like, you could have just clicked once here. And mm-hmm. I think for me, it was just a learning curve to be like, be confident with when you are shooting and knowing like what shot you want, instead of being like, I need to take a photo of everything and anything, because I think it goes to the fact where it's like quantity isn't always the best option. Mm-hmm. Even though like literally yesterday, I'm pretty sure I shot over like 2000 photos. So like, you know, you can't really win.
Yeah.
But like, that's my thing. Like I, especially now, it's like, I'm going to these insane stadiums and I'm just like in awe of like the atmosphere, especially just for like women's lacrosse. Like last weekend I was at Philly Stadium, like, mm-hmm. and all the guys are like treating it like it's normal. I'm like, you guys are playing in an NFL stadium. This is yeah. sick. Like, and then Clemson, I just couldn't even get over the atmosphere. Like it was, I've never been in a football stadium that big. And I mean, the amount of also photographers and videographers that are at Clemson blew my mind. Mm-hmm. Like there was three from our school, it was two videographers and then me, and they were in these green vests, and all the other Clemson people are wearing white vests. And I was like, there's gotta be over 30. Like
yeah.
they had so many. I was like,
you like fighting for like, are you like fighting for space? Like how does, maybe even for like the people who are yeah. not familiar with sports photography, like, are you camped out of like, all right, this is my spot that I get to shoot the game and that's where I'm going to shoot from? Or are you sort of like roaming and you have access to yeah. move and swivel?
Yeah. So thankfully I have access to kind of move and swivel, because if I had to stay put a whole game, I think it'd be extremely bored. Like I love kind of each quarter switching sides. And then as I'm like cutting through, I get solo shots of like the players on the bench and just kind of like on the sidelines. Like I love getting a mixture of photos, not just like game photos, mm-hmm. Which is kind of like my biggest thing. Cause again, it's like, how do you capture the emotion of a football player? Because he wears a helmet. Mm-hmm. Like for me, baseball and soccer is so easy in that sense. Like I love getting that like raw emotion of the game, and it's easy. They're wearing a hat or like they're not wearing anything, but like helmets are hard. Like you really have to like get your shot. Which is why like, I was surprised, but like before this year, I've only shot like one football game at BC. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I was like heavy baseball. So when they asked me if I wanted to start traveling, I was like, oh my God, yeah. But it's definitely going to be a quick learning curve for mm-hmm. me. But yeah, I would say like never stay put. Cause I mm-hmm. just think like the more you move, the more you're going to find like different angles that you like. Especially yesterday, like I was set up in one spot and I was taking a few pictures and I really just was like, this is a good photo, but I want it to be like great. Like, mm-hmm. and I went to the other side, and then on the other side, I was able to get the entire Clemson fan staff, like Sam, the entire like Clemson fan base, like the student section in the background of mm-hmm. my photo. And so I got this one photo of like our guy sacking the quarterback. And I was just like, this is such a, like, if I
such a better spot. Yeah.
Okay. With moving. And especially in the spot where I was, like there was 20 other photographers. So it's like, do I stay put because this seems to be like the spot, or do I go on the other side where there's only one other person? Like, do they have a shitty shot? It's kind of like ignore what everyone else is doing and just focus on your shot, because they mm-hmm. keep capturing only one player. Like you don't know what their job is.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just like, don't, especially because I'm 20, like there's guys out there that are like 50, like I'm so outnumbered. It's like quite ridiculous. Also mm-hmm. gender wise, like I'm pretty sure there's two females out on the field yesterday. Like,
yeah. That's got to feel good.
Intimidated. Yeah. Oh my God. I just feel like a badass. Like, yeah. I'm just like, I don't think this should be a male dominated, like, I don't know, career. And mm-hmm. so I'm just kind of like walking around doing my thing. I'm just like, it is what it is. Like, it's funny too, because the three men that I work with, it's like them three and then me. And I'm always like trailing because I'm yeah. like this little intern. And I'm just like, where are we going? But yeah, I would just say like, work for your shot. Don't try to work to get the same shot as someone else, mm-hmm. is my main takeaway.
Like, do you go into a game with a brief or with an idea of like, all right, I got to capture X, Y, and Z today? Or is it sort of like carte blanche of, I'm just going to go and like what I get. And when I come home, I'm going to look at the 2000 photos I took and see what stands out.
Yeah. It was funny. We were at dinner the night before the game and my boss asked me like, what's your shot for tomorrow? And I honestly looked at him. I was like, I have no idea. it's funny. Like I actually feel like sometimes like I'm playing, like my adrenaline the entire time we're in that stadium was insane. Like I was like so pumped to be in that environment and mm-hmm. like my heart was just racing. It was so cool. And for me, it was more just like, it was before we even went out of the tunnel, like a few of the linebacks said to me, they were like, oh, like think you can get a few shots of us like on the line. I was like, yeah, of course. Like, and I just like love that. Like for people to feel comfortable wanting their photo and like wanting you to capture like them doing their sport. Like that's huge. Especially just to like, I don't know, go out of their way. Like when they're kind of like pre-game and to ask for a photo, like I thought that was big. And then it's like, okay, in the game, yeah, I know I have to get that photo. But in other than that, it's more me just like, okay, I need to get the big play, but also like the little moments of like the guys cheering on the sidelines or the guys kind of like huddling together after we make the field goal, but nothing like too in particular. It's more just a focus of, I don't know, capturing the game. Okay. It's like all it feels.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm getting really specific here, but like, so you go and you take 2000 photos or whatever. Are you during the course of the game, like kind of checking and looking of like, oh, I think I got a good one here. I'm going to export it and send it to somebody because they need to post it. Like, how does that process work of breaking down, like shooting? And because, you know, you're doing live sports and I imagine people are looking for live in the moment photos to post on social.
Yeah. My, it's funny. My family's not as happy with me in this current situation because we don't have unlimited data. So I'm blowing through my data. And, so I actually in game have to edit and post. So I'd say each game I probably edit between pre-games and like during games and then end game shots. It's about 35 to 40. But what I do, I have a pretty good workflow right now, but I'll take a few photos and then I'll, if it's a media timeout, I'll quickly take out my SD card, plug it into my phone, upload it to Lightroom, edit it, export it, put into Dropbox, and then our SID will post it. And so I do that process every single time. It's either a media timeout or like there's just like a quick break in the game. The first two games, I like had to figure out kind of a rhythm because I would put in my SD card and then it'd be like, wait, shoot, they're going again. And so I was like, you can't take the SD card out of your phone or the photos won't upload. So it's like, shit.
I'm stuck.
So then I had a situation, so I use two SD cards. So when I have SD card two in, I can continue shooting and then upload on SD card one. But again, like I just figured out this is the Clemson was the first game where I figured that out. Other than that, I was like on my phone, like trying to click it as fast as possible. And the worst thing also is that there's never any service, I swear, on these football fields. Like I'm trying to add it to our Dropbox folder so like everyone can see it to post on like Twitter, Instagram, and like all our platforms. And I just see like the swivel moving so small. I'm like, oh my God, this guy scored like 10 minutes ago. Like, and I edited the photo 2 minutes after he scored, but still loading, you know? So it's definitely, I mean, I've always had headaches with technology. But yeah, it was like classic once again. I was like, I was fast here. Like, come on.
Yeah. You've got 75,000 other people trying to send text and post photos and it doesn't make it easy. Tell me a little bit about like how, obviously, you know, right now you're working on football, but over the summer you were working for Athletes Unlimited, you were doing lacrosse and you've done baseball, you've done soccer. Like, how has it gone building that relationship with the athletes that you're shooting? Cause like, I do feel like a lot of the stuff that you're, you know, you're sharing, like the athletes want it for themselves to post on their socials. Like, what is that relationship like between like photographer and players?
Yeah. I mean, soccer's unique because soccer's all my best friends. So taking photos of them, it's not even like, I don't know, a chore. Like I get so excited because I'm like, A, I get to watch the game.
Yeah.
B, I get to watch the game from like their bench. Like I'm like right next to them, like, go, go, go. Like I'm just cheering.
You're in the mix. Yeah.
So yeah. I feel like I'm on the team, which I love. But I think for me, Athletes Unlimited was such a unique experience that I'll never forget. I mean, what the founder is basing his, I don't know, his league off is truly something you have to like look into and really just dive into, because basically what he did for Pro Women's Lacrosse is the WPLL folded in because of the pandemic. And what he did was created a 5-week series of like the top 57 lacrosse players in the country to come play in Maryland, which is like the heart of lacrosse. So, I mean, even in terms of fans during, I don't know, the back end of kind of COVID, they did really well. Like there was no better feeling than looking up and seeing some 6-year-old screaming Taylor Cummings. Like it was the cutest thing. It just like goes to show like the game's still growing and it's still young. And I know like it's not as big as other sports, but it's up and coming. Like I think the PLL is so successful thanks to Paul Rabel. But I also think in terms of a creative, in terms of like a creative, like point of view, I would say like the PLL has so many content creators. Mm-hmm. You're able to see so much because of how they operate. And I think that, AU did it on a smaller like spectrum, which is why I think we did so well. I mean, I brought up the idea of doing like in-game posts. I started this thing called Friday Fit. So like mm-hmm. all the girls would show up, they'd walk kind of into the locker room and
walk the runway,
whatever
yeah.
they wanted. Yeah. Cause I don't know. I see all the other sports team doing it. I was like, these women deserve to have this too. Like mm-hmm. they deserve the photos. They deserve the platform. And so my role was really just kind of giving them as much content as they could, cause I wanted them to be able to have it. And it was honestly for me just so cool, because at the time both my coaches were also playing in the event.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It was just like I could literally watch lacrosse like every single day, and it was so cool to be taking photos of like every role model that I had in the lacrosse world that was out there on that film, like yeah. That field. Like it was just like, that's Kaylee Waters in net. Like when I was little, like Kaylee Waters was the goalie I watched. It was like her, Devin Wills, like. They were goalies that I learned off, and mm-hmm. it's like now I'm taking photos for her, and like it was so cool. And then they did sorry, I'm like jumping all over this is not a smooth story, but this is me, my brain,
it's all good, it's
like,
all good.
Like, AU was the coolest thing ever, like I can't promote it enough. It's not even like it doesn't even have to be sponsored. I could like literally shoot it. It's like AU any day of the week. It was mm-hmm. we did a media day production the first week. I had to cancel preseason just because of like COVID safety. So basically they media production, and then 2 days later we were starting. And so I was like, okay, well that's a quick turnaround on everything. But I was like, this is it. This is what the pace is going to be this summer. Like gear up, let's go. And it just, every single time someone came through the media thing, I just was like, I need to be confident with like what I did with BC in terms of like shooting photos, having my own media station. Like that was what I had here. And I was mm-hmm. like, I need to know. It doesn't matter that I'm like, at the time I was also 19. I was like, it doesn't matter that I'm 19. Like I need to like be mature in the sense where I should be here. Like I'm not here because I'm just like a college YouTuber. Like I'm here right. because I'm good at photos. I'm good at what I do. Like, and a confidence thing is always, I think, something I've struggled with in terms of just like lacrosse itself, but also just like as a creator, especially when starting a YouTube channel, you're like, mm-hmm. well, what if people don't like it? Like, what if I don't like take off? And
yeah.
you can't really do the what ifs. You kind of, for me, it's more just like dive in and go for it. And if shit doesn't work out, shit doesn't work out. Like I always say that approach with like, when you bring a camera into a place, until you put it away. Like that's the worst thing that happens. But especially if you watch that YouTube video with me and Mitchell Pelkey, like mm-hmm. we brought it into my favorite smoothie shop. And like the owner came out, his name is Jeff, and like made our vlog. But I'm like saying, if I was scared of like the common, like, oh, you shouldn't film in stores, like we wouldn't have gotten Jeff and
right.
made that video. So I think, yeah, just like, don't be scared to do your thing. And for me, I mean, I still haven't even edited yet and I can't wait to edit it. But that I had that same feeling at AU where I was like, I stopped vlogging and I was like, damn, like I still want to vlog. And so I actually made two vlogs with two of the players.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just so awesome. Me or Shane, she was one of the goalies there. We did like almost like a shooting clinic vlog.
Yeah.
Super great energy. Like she's such an awesome, awesome girl. And another one was with Cindy Preka. She's like super fit. Like she has a fitness account too. So that's kind of how we met, was just kind of like through our food accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did like a partner workout vlog. And so they're both like, I still know like in my mind, like how I want to set up the vlog. It's just once I have 2 seconds, I'm going to edit it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think the whole experience at AU was so surreal and just something that I'll never forget, because I mean, at the end of the day, it's just, I can say I was a huge part of why women's lacrosse is growing and why AU is so successful their first season.
Yeah. Like how did you even get involved in that? Like from what I can understand, like you were kind of running point on photography, on content, like how did that opportunity come about? And obviously you like took full advantage of it, but like, how did you sort of even get in the mix to do that in the first place?
Yeah. So I actually was at, it was our preseason practice, for lacrosse here at BC, and Kayla Trainer, our, old coach, she was like, oh, like, hey, what are you doing this summer for work? And I told her that I was thinking about just doing some club work again when I got back home, and just like, usually I just spend my summer just grinding out, like getting ready for the following season, getting ready for school, and just kind of like taking that time to like really be back at home. And she was like, oh, like, you know, like Athletes Unlimited, and like it kind of explained like what it is and what they're doing. And I just, I don't know, after she finished telling that story, I was just like, okay, I'm in. Like,
yeah,
I gotta do this.
Yeah.
So I DM'd a few accounts, had my resume and portfolio ready to go, and submitted that, and just kind of waited for a little. And it must have been like 2 weeks till I heard back. And they were just like, we would love to have you on staff. And I just like, holy shit. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it definitely threw off like my summer, because I was like, this is so, like, this is a job. Like, I've never had like a job. Like, the club thing, I, you know, live at home with my parents, and like I pay for, like they pay for the gas, and I would just like be living my normal life. Like, especially because the club I was taking photos for was where my siblings played for, and I played for them too. So it's like, to my parents, it's also like, I was a carpool to driving them. Like, it didn't feel like work, if that makes sense. The only part that made feel like work was like when you got like yelled at by your boss because like you misspelled something on Instagram. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, so it was scary, honestly. I was so scared at first, because I was like, I'm gonna be living in a hotel for 5 weeks, kind of on my own, and I have like a grocery stipend. Like, I it felt like I was in the real world at such like an early time, and I was like, oh, okay. So I think that part at first like initially scared me, but I think just like listening to Kayla and Sam just talk about Athletes Unlimited and what their plans were for this summer just seemed like so awesome. And like, at first when they hired me, like, I wasn't really sure like what I was doing, because when I sent them my portfolio, like I sent them basically anything I could do for them. I was like, I could do video, I could do graphics, like I could do photo, like basically anything and everything you want me to do. So at first I was like, okay, maybe I'm doing just like a little bit of whatever they want. And then we hopped on a Zoom, going over just, it was like a staff Zoom, and kind of everyone's roles and like what we were doing. And they shared like a Google sheet, and under my name, it said main photographer. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. And so then I like asked at the end of the room, I was like, so am I doing like graphics and like all that other stuff? Like, I don't know if I'd be able to like, you know, time it. And they're like, no, like you're straight photos and like mass amount of photos. I was like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Like, they're like, you're going to be doing like game production, like draft day. I was like, oh, got it. Like, and I was like, okay, here we go. And then they sent me like an invoice of equipment. And in my head, I'm like, okay, so I have a camera and a small lens. It's like the only equipment I have.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to need a few things.
Yeah.
But like, that was so awesome. Like, to also have access to that kind of equipment. Like, I have that at BC because I work for the media team here. And so they have that for any of the student workers. And so again, like the reason I think I am where I am today is because I worked for free in a sense, and I worked for experience, and being able to use equipment and being able to use that equipment is how I got better. Like, I know people say like, it's not all about the equipment, but like my vlog editing style became so much faster because I went from using a computer that crashed every 2 minutes to also working off an iPad and being able to travel on the road. Like,
yeah,
part of it is finding what equipment works for you. Like, I'm not saying you need expensive stuff. Like, I could have bought a brand new MacBook Pro, but I couldn't afford it, so I bought an iPad instead. Like, it's it's finding what works for you. And I think for me, especially at AU, like I got there the first week and that's when my computer crashed. And I was so scared because I was like, I just got myself a real job and I'm about to fuck this up big time. And I just was like, you just had to recheck yourself mentally. And I was just like, hell no, like we're doing this right. We got this. And I edited that entire summer off my iPad. And when I tell people that, like, they look at me like I'm a psycho. And I'm just like, that's just how bad I want to be successful at that job. Like, I wasn't going to blame the computer for why I wasn't good at it. Like, I just, like, to me, that's like self-defeat. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you, it just like, for me, it's also like live the cross. Like, I'm never going to blame like a piece of equipment for why I'm a bad goalie. Like, if I want to be a good goalie, like you make that happen. Like, that's how that works. And so I think that's also why I think I'm not unique from other creators. I just think because I play a sport, like I just am structured so differently in the sense where I just don't quit. And I think that's why I have taken off pretty quick in these past like 2 years. Cause I put so much time into it and I really just want to get better at this.
Yeah. I like that phraseology. Cause I think like I've talked to a lot of athletes on the show that have now moved into the creative space or the entrepreneurial space. And there's a lot of like crossover between the two worlds. Like, you know, so how do you sort of think about let's make it simple, but like prepping for a game that you're playing in versus prepping for a photo shoot, a media day, a game that you're shooting? Like, what are some of the things that go into both of those that you feel like has some overlap?
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, I actually treat it like the exact same. Like I eat the same breakfast. Like I have my exact same coffee. But it's the same sense where it's like I have to warm up for photos, just like I have to warm up for a game. Like a lot of my practice, not practice, like when they do their warmups the first time. So how football works, for anyone who like doesn't know a lot about football, this is what I mean. They have two warmups, and I'm just figuring that out. They have warmups without their gear on, and then they have warmups with their gear on. So when they warm up without their gear on, that's kind of when I figure out like what settings I want. So in terms of like ISO, aperture, shutter, white balance, I figured that all out during their non-padded warm-up. So when they go into their padded warm-up, I'm like ready to go. So for me, it's like figuring out the little things before I actually get to the main event. And so it's like the same with lacrosse in that sense, where it's like you get warmed up, and then when you go into like your 3v3s, 5v5s before the game, like you're ready to go. So it's just like structuring it, like mentally checking in also before that event. Like I know for me, when they pull up in the buses, like I joke around with our other video guy, like I'm just like ready to go. Like I have like my camera set up. I'm like, all right, they're going to pop out of the bus. I'm going to export four photos right after this. Like I'm like so fast paced at this point. But I think it's just like, again, for me, the biggest overlap is just confidence. Like, especially being a woman in this career, like you have to walk around and feel like the shit, because it's like, I literally saw it yesterday. Like there's another female creator out there. She just like kept getting out of the way for like other photographers. It's like, just stand your ground.
Yeah.
Like, they will move if you don't move, like stop shifting. Like I literally wanted to look at her and be like, stop moving. But it's just, it's confidence. Like you have to just stand there and be like, this is my spot. I'm shooting just like you. Like you're no better than me. Unless they're like Billy Wise from like Red Sox, I would move for him. He's like, he's like my idol photographer.
He's like a legend.
Yeah, you get out of his way. But yeah, and then, I mean, same thing with lacrosse. I know freshman year, I really struggled with confidence. I think just once again, like it's a big shift coming from high school lacrosse to college lacrosse. And I struggled with confidence. And sophomore year, I kind of found my rhythm. And especially going back into this year, rewind. So this summer working with AU, another big thing for me was being able to also train with the goalies. And so I learned a lot about myself and my playing style. And I definitely don't think I'd be in the position I am this fall in terms of confidence and playing ability if it wasn't for not being nervous to ask for those goalies' helps. And I think working with them really changed my playing style. And confidence wise, like this fall, like I'm confident with how I'm playing. Like I'm not trying to play like another goalie or trying to like mock another style. And I think that's what everyone also needs to learn, like in terms, it's in creative aspect, but also lacrosse is like play your way or shoot your way. Don't try to like be someone else, because it's not going to be your best work then.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like in talking with a lot of creatives, there's so many people that's how they start, is like the only way that you can learn is like, oh, I like this person, I'm going to try and like replicate what they just did. Or I like this person, and I'm going to replicate what they just did. And then eventually through doing that, you sort of find like what your own style is. So for you, it seems like you've, you know, started to develop like this own like creative style. How would you describe your photography or videography style now?
Yeah. I would say in terms of like photography, I really like the little moment shots. Like those are kind of like my little niche. I feel like I know I can, at this point, I feel confident capturing like those big moments. Yeah, there's going to be a few that are so out of focus, but like yesterday I got some like great of those big moments where we sacked the quarterback, or we got the interception, or Pat scored the touchdown. Like I got those moments, but I also got the moments of like one of the players just like absolutely just screaming to like four of his teammates, like, we got this, like let's go. We're like in the locker room where they have like one of their players just like kind of just being next to a guy who's down and supporting him. And that's kind of, I think, where I like to hone in and really like focus on. Because I think that's what makes a team a team.
Mm-hmm.
Like being an athlete myself, like, yeah, you're on a team because you want to make that big play. But at the same time, like, you play a sport because of the environment and because of the team that you're on. And those little moments is kind of how you make those friendships and make those like long lasting relationships with people. So I think being able to capture that, it means so much more to the athletes too, because you're really just capturing why they choose to play that sport and play at that school.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of video, I think I love to, so currently I'm working on a few projects for like other athletes, just like they can kind of promote themselves. I mean, the NIL is a big wiggle room. NIL is opening a lot of like new doors, I think, for creators too. So like as a creator, just reach out to athletes. I think a lot of athletes want to use this new platform and kind of show who they are and show their stuff out through social media. And so I'm helping them, I guess, just market themselves on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's more just capturing who they are as an athlete and then kind of going above and beyond in that sense. And YouTube wise, I think how I want to kind of go with my channel is like still stay in the realm of like showing my life as a college athlete. But I love this stuff where it's like the vlog style of what I do on a daily basis. Cause I think I am so all over the place that I think it's kind of entertaining to make a YouTube channel out of it. Like,
yeah,
especially just like last year. I mean, at one point, like my whole family's in Florida on vacation. And then like, I don't know, it's just so entertaining to me, like going back and watching these videos and just saying like, I really am just trying to do it all. Like,
yeah.
There's just no stopping.
The life of being a creative is like pretty interesting in itself.
Exactly.
How do you think about being on camera? Obviously you spend so much of your time shooting other athletes, shooting, you know, other products, whatever it is. But then in the YouTube world, like, you're turning the camera on yourself. It's selfie mode. You're sort of like, you know, the star of the show in a way. Like, how is that being on camera versus behind the camera?
Yeah. So that was another thing. I was so, it was a confidence thing, but freshman year, I just was so nervous in that fall. I was like, I don't know if I want to put myself in front of the camera. Like for the past, I don't know, it was like half a year then I was shooting other athletes, putting them in front of the camera. And like my ski video is more just me pointing my camera at other people, like capturing them. Like I wasn't really in the video. It was more just me getting all my teammates. And so it was kind of an eye opener to me, because I was like, I'm getting all these great videos of like my team and everything, but I was like, I want to be in it, if that makes sense. Like I want to show my experience, my point of view. And so being in front of the camera, it definitely was hard at first, because like, it's like anything, when someone pulls out a camera right in front of you, you kind of get like word jumble. Like you don't know what to say, or you say something way too fast, or your grammar really isn't there. That's like me 101. Like I just like make up word gibberish. But it was like, I knew it was so scary, but it was something I so wanted to do. So I just was kind of like, fuck it again. It's going out on YouTube. Like it is what it is. And I'm so happy I did that. But it was so weird at first, like, especially because the camera that I was using, like, I couldn't see myself, which I actually think made it easier.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just talk to the camera as if I was talking to someone, and I had no idea what I would look like. And so it was a good thing or a bad thing. I'd go to edit it and it'd be all out of focus and be like, can't use that. Great job.
Yeah.
Or in the sense where I just was like, just talk to them like you would talk to a person. And I think that part made it easier, because I wasn't staring at like myself in like the little corner, which I know like a lot of YouTubers have like the flip camera. But like, that was the thing. Like I bought a camera to do like photos. Like I didn't buy a camera to vlog. So it wasn't really like a vlogging camera. So
yeah.
It was also intimidating as shit, because it was a big camera. Like I was lugging around to vlog. Like the videos are crisp and I love that part of it, but I was like, this isn't a YouTube video.
This
like,
isn't very easy to operate. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I started off with just using like a little GoPro at first. But anyone who has like a GoPro knows like they just keep getting upgraded. And so I was using like the GoPro like 3 at first. And I was like, the audio's trash. This video is like just not good. Like I just wasn't happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just like, it goes back to the equipment. I was like, reassess yourself real quick.
Yeah.
I was like, you just like make it work. And so I did another vlog. It was like the when we went to USC. And I loved that vlog. I was just like, this is so good. Like, I loved all the memories that we got out in California, and it was so fun to video. And I was just like, you cannot blame equipment. Like, don't do that. And then I think just as I kept having my GoPro around the team, before we kind of got cut short because of COVID, that mm-hmm. following year, coming into the fall of my sophomore year, I just, again, the fuck it, I was like, we're whipping out the big camera. Like, I'm using it. And so yeah. I just started using my photo camera. Like, anyone in terms of creative that knows, like, the Sony a7 III, like, it's a beast of a camera. Like, it was the first camera I bought. It's the same camera I shoot with. Like, I'm obsessed with that camera. Mm-hmm. It does everything with photos and videos, and it does it really, really well.
Do you care? Like, do you just constantly have a camera on you at all times at this point?
Kinda. I mean, for the most part, I feel like I already have so much stuff in my school bag that, like, I don't always carry my camera around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually my backpack's full of, like, school stuff. I always have a few lacrosse balls at the bottom of it, my jump rope. It's like an interesting little, like, if I was to do like unpacking, it'd be interesting. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I have a camera in my hand probably, if not every other day, every day. Like, I'm just constantly trying to find something to shoot, especially in the NIL days is what I'm calling it. I'm working with a few companies, and it's really unique to be an athlete and getting to work with these companies, but also being able to send them work that no other athlete's creating for them. Like, mm-hmm. some of them are in awe of, like, what I'm able, they're like, okay, you're an athlete, but you're, like, creating content that our content creators are creating. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think for some of them, they were kind of taken back in that sense. They didn't expect to get that. And I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, I want to do so much.
Yeah.
And so I, like, send them, like, TikToks they can post on their social media accounts, or graphics, or just, like, simple Instagram posts. Like, I think for me, it's showing what I can do for a company is also a good sell for, like, who I am as a person. Like, when I work with a company, like, I'm not just doing the bare minimum, like, I'm going above and beyond. So I think it's just like a marketing thing. Like, I can mm-hmm. show that to other companies and be like, this is what you get. Like, you're not just getting an athlete who's just not going to do anything. Like, you're getting an athlete that wants to build your brand too. Like,
yeah.
It's a mutual brand building relationship here. So let's go.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of cool. I know Mitchell Pelkey, I know I'm saying his name a few times, but he really has been a big inspiration, I guess, for me, just in mm-hmm. the sense that he just signed with SX, and I think that's so awesome. Like, he has a very successful YouTube channel, and he is still playing college lacrosse. Like, he's balancing it all too, and I think it's so awesome for him to sign with big companies like that, especially STX. Like, I mean, what kid didn't start lacrosse without an STX stick in their hand? Like, I know mm-hmm. for me, that was the first stick I bought, so that's truly, like, full circle.
That's awesome. How has, like, you don't have to get into all the details, but, like, how has NIL opened up opportunities for you? Like, are companies or brands coming directly to you and saying, hey, like, we want you as an athlete to represent us? Like, how does that process even work? Cause I feel like it's, like, so new that people probably still don't know how. Like, I know I yeah. work for brands, and we're still trying to figure out, like, all right, is this legal? Can we do this? Like, how, like, what's yeah. like fair game. So how has it been for you? And, like, what kind of stuff are you, how is the process going?
Yeah. I think for the most part right now, I've been just focusing on, like, companies that work around, like, my food and fitness mm-hmm. interests. Like, I'm working with a company called Eat Clean Bro, and basically it's, like, a healthy meal delivery system. And I think that just really embodies, like, what an athlete needs in their life, which is why I kind of worked with them. But for me, it's just, like, not picking companies, because I mean, I am not getting, like, a lot of big offers. Like, I can tell you, I'll be straight up about that. Like,
yeah.
And if I am, if anything, they're looking to hire me to create other contents for athletes. And, like, it hurts a little that, like, they don't see me as that athlete. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm being honest. Like, yeah. I want to be that athlete that you want, not mm-hmm. just, like, the creator that you want. Like, I want both. Is it selfish? Yeah, I don't care. Like, it is what it is. But it's more just like, okay, does this company, like, that's a few things. Like, this company will email me, and it's like, are they asking me as an athlete, or are they asking me as a creator? Because some of these companies are looking to split. And if mm-hmm. the companies that I end up choosing are the ones that want both. Like, yeah. that's how it works for me. It's like, you don't just want part of me, you want, like, who I am. And so mm-hmm. it's like, I'm affiliate or, like, brand ambassador with Super Coffee. And so I started off with them actually last year because I was a product photographer for them. So basically I would just like take photos of like their newest drink, submit them. Like it was very point blank. And I had a call with them after the NIL passed and they're like, look, like we want you to be part of our college athlete program. Like we know you can create the content, but like, we know you're also so much more than that. And to me, it was just like, I was just grateful. Cause I was just like, I'm so much more than just like someone behind a camera. Like they actually see me as like a hardworking athlete, someone who is devoted to their sport too, outside of just like their content creating stuff. So working with them was kind of a no brainer. And then, I mean, yeah, I'd say for the most part, I think when it comes to like equipment stuff, I think it gets tricky for a lot of athletes, which is why I think it's unique that SDX is signing a few athletes or even like Gate Lacrosse. I know they'll be up in the running. Nike, I like there's so much unknown because it's like you can't ask a college athlete to rep your brand if their school signed with someone else. So then it's like, okay, but why sign the athlete if they can't even create any content or you can't get posts out of it? Like, because there's also so many issues with, see, this is what I think is so hard for creators. So it's like, who owns the image? Can they use the image for advertising? Can they post it? It's like, that's a big issue right now. I know at our school in terms of like, who gets to go to the games, who gets to shoot, who gets to use that in ads? Like, I'm pretty sure like right now I always like try to like refresh myself on the rules. Cause I get like, I get nervous. Like I don't want to lose a year of eligibility for like, just like working with a brand, you know what I mean? Like it's scary in that sense. And like, I know athletes can post like the photos I take, but like they can't like when the football players wear suits, like if they were to wear one of their, I don't know, like brand ambassador, like suits, like they can't tag them. It's like, cause that's, they're using BC Media content for an ad and you're not allowed to do
that. So okay.
That's the one hard part I think for me, because it's like I'm creating content, but they can't typically use it in certain areas. But I know at the end of the day, like they're still, if they still post it, like that's still a win for me.
Right. Okay. All right. I want to go rapid fire here with a couple last questions for you. Okay. If you could shoot any athlete alive or dead, who would you pick?
This isn't even rapid fire. I love so many athletes. I'd say Bodie Miller. I know that's super strange. You might not know who he is.
I know, but Bodie Miller's new. I'm a New Hampshire guy. Bodie Miller's a New Hampshire guy.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
He was like the ski race. It was him and Lindsey Vonn. Those are the two ski races that I watched my entire life. I like totally, I also never shot skiing. Like photo wise, I think that would be sick. It'd be so fun. Gotta figure that out. But like, yeah.
I like that. Do you have a favorite photo that you've ever taken?
Yes, it's actually just not a sports photo. It's a photo after one of the AU games when one of the players, who's a mom, her two kids, I came running up to her after the game, like gave her like this big hug. And I got a photo of all three of them together, just kind of like embracing that moment. And it was just sick because it really just like captured AU being a 5-week thing allows you to be a professional women's lacrosse player, but also a mom at the same time. And I got that all in one photo.
That's awesome. I always wonder that too, just photographers, videographers, like, are there memorable moments or are there things where you're like in the actual, like in the moment that the photo is happening that you're like, oh shit, I just got something special? Or is it not till like afterwards that you realize like, oh wow, that was like really magical?
In the moment, every time.
Yeah.
In the moment. Like, even like this fall, I was shooting women's soccer, and like as she was lining up to kick the ball, I was like, holy shit, she's about to tie the game. Holy shit. And I just like was having my hand down the clicker, and then she scored it. And I was like, oh my God, I got that. Like, you know, in the moment, because it's like you're staring through the viewfinder, and you're like, I have this kind of moment. But yeah, definitely, I think it's and then once you go back and see it, you're just kind of like, yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Nailed that
or
one.
It's the opposite. And you're like, shit, it's out of focus.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Is like, okay, from a planning standpoint, from like thinking about a year down the road, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, like what do you want to be doing? Who would you want to be, like, do you still want to be creating content? Like, how do you sort of see the next steps for you as a creator?
Yeah. I think 1 year, I have no idea. 5 years, I think I'll be coming to the end of my lacrosse career. I think I'd want to be involved with AU as a player too. And I also have a year of eligibility still. So definitely, you know, still getting like finishing school, building on maybe a film grad degree, hopefully. And then 10 years, I just want to be shooting athletes. It could be lifestyle content, working with brands like Nike or Under Armour, just like surrounding myself with athletes who are at this. I don't want to say like just like professional athletes, because that's not necessarily the case, but just like people who are driven, they have goals and they're determined. Because I think when you surround yourself with that kind of people in a work environment, that's only going to put you in a better place. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where I want to go. I mean, it doesn't have to just shoot sports. Like, I think in that sense, I want to be a freelancer, because I mean, if you know Billy Weiss, what he does is he shoots the Boston Red Sox home games, but at the same time, he's shooting like Maroon 5 and he's shooting weddings. Like, I, at the end of the day, like, I just want to shoot so many different things that I don't want to be honed in on only shooting like the NFL, like every single game, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really just want to capture life and like all the memories that it has and, you know, getting that for other people, but also myself. So I think that's why I'd go like the freelance route.
Okay, cool. I like that. And then this is my last question. I've been asking everybody this on the show. So I end every episode with the sign off of stay weird. So I'll ask you, Kate, what makes you weird?
Oh, what makes me weird? There's a lot of things. what makes me weird? That I feel like I almost live a double life in the sense where, like, I have played college sport, but then I also like, or like in a double life in the sense where I like am behind the camera, but I'm also in front of the camera. And I feel like sometimes you get two very different like people, because in front of the camera, I'm like super high energy, like trying to tell a story. And then behind the camera, I'm like, energy's like just honed in on what I'm doing. And I'm really focused. And people say like, once my hat goes backward, it's like, don't fuck with Kate. She's in the zone. So I think a weird thing about me is I have like two alter egos.
That is a wrap on episode 100 of the Destination Different podcast. Huge thank you to Kate for joining me for this special episode. I mean, she is about as impressive as they come. I wish I had a quarter of the head that she has on her shoulders at her age. Like, she is just mature beyond her years. She is smart. She is crazy talented, but she's also like so committed to improving and building her craft, and both as a creator and an athlete. It's just super impressive from her. And I'm just so grateful that I've had the chance to talk to her. I hope that we can get the chance to collaborate on something at some point, because she is just very, very, very special. So I'll make sure we get all of Kate's stuff linked up in the description of the show. I believe she's kdever.media on Instagram. Kate Dever is her personal account. She's over on TikTok too. So make sure to check out her work, but we'll get it linked up in the description of the show. And I went super long on the intro, so we're going to keep it nice and brief here to close it out. Thank you again to everybody who has listened over the last 100. We're about to make the next 100 100 times better. I hope you keep tuning in. I hope you keep listening. Destination Different is just getting started. Let's get to 200 and let's stay weird.
I had a dream. You gave me superpowers. We fell in love for just a couple hours. I can't tell the difference between what's fake and what's been missing. Often I'm misunderstood, so I'm looking for a better me. This is your love song, baby.